Morning, Kurt.
How you doing, Bruce?
And we're really happy to have Amanda Finelli.
Hey,
and,
Bruce.
And Amanda is here representing the Hailstorm group that's supporting teacher Carla
nice.
Hale.
I like the name.
It was unjustly discharged. And Glenn Skeen, our friend Glenn, is back. He's with the CWA and president of the new Pride at Work group in Ohio.
And thanks, Bruce. Nice to be back. Yeah, good to be here.
Welcome.
So we're really welcome. We want to discuss
another edition of what's our show? Remember our show's name? Labor Creates All Wealth.
And the reason it's called that is because labor creates all wealth.
Exactly. And we're here to talk about everything related to labor, obviously. You know, the things that people go through to earn their daily bread and making sure we have some democracy and rights in that regard. Let's start off the show today a little bit about, you know, some current events. What happened on Tuesday, Bruce? What happened down at the State House?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, before we start, I'd like to say that we want to welcome everybody a great day after May Day. And although people are very confused or don't know what May Day is the International Workers' Holiday, and it started where?
Where?
In the United States of America.
In the United States of America, but it's celebrated more around the world than it is here now.
Yeah, but we had a good demonstration here, and it's interesting, folks, that immigrants were really the base of the first May Day in 1886 when workers struck and fought for the eight-hour day. Police came out in Chicago, Milwaukee, here in Columbus as well. There were huge May Day demonstrations in 1886. But what they ended up doing was arresting the eight leaders of that movement. Albert Parsons' office spies, Fielding, Schwab, Fisher, Engel, Ling, and Niebuhr, and hung them. As they often do when we
raise our hand and say we need our rights.
The interesting thing as well is that of those eight, six were immigrants, five from Germany, one from Britain. One fella, Niebuhr, was born in New York, and Albert Parsons was actually had been a Confederate officer, married Lucy Parsons, formerly a slave, and they joined what was then the Republican Party and fought for the eight-hour day and for labor. And for that reason, labor today across the world celebrates May Day. So wanted to wish everybody that little bit of knowledge.
Happens to coincide with the birthday of Mother Jones, too.
Didn't know that, but
yeah.
Mother Jones is a great hero.
Yes, she was.
Mother Jones helped the United Mine Workers get started and you know, is celebrate. I think that may be part of why they chose May 1st. I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of reasons for that, but and as much as I'd love to have that discussion, I've been reading up on it. I think you're right. We've got to discuss what's going on right now as a preface.
Here in the state of Ohio, on Tuesday was introduced a bill. Two bills in the House for one for public side and one for private side. Right to work, which we know is so-called right to work.
Right.
It will take our rights and our democracy away in the workplace, and we've got a fight on our hands, don't we, Bruce?
Yes, we do. And I think the question of democracy is one that we've got to get across to the public. They talk about the democratic right to pull out of a union. However, what they're really saying is it's like Mayor Coleman was elected last November, and if you choose not to like that, we're not going to pay our
taxes.
House and street taxes. And really what occurs is that when workers want a union, they get a chance to vote on that union. The only way that the union has any power is if they represent the entire workforce, and that's the vote that takes place. What they are now trying to do is bust unions and bust the base of the people's movement and bust working people at a time when over the last three decades we've had the greatest redistribution of wealth upward to the rich in history.
Absolutely. And you know, let's start off with little facts about what it would do. We know that in states that already have this kind of legislation, the average wages and incomes are almost $6,500 lower in the states that already have right to work. Lower access to benefits and health care coverage. higher poverty rates and higher infant mortality rates. Education spending is much lower, on the order of almost $3,400 a year per capita lower in those states. Death rates on the job, 36% higher in states with right-to-work laws. And 6 out of 10, you know, the proponents of this claim that if we just did this, we would have lots of job creation. 6 of the 10 states with the highest unemployment rates are states with right to work. So it doesn't bear fruit. It doesn't bear scrutiny. Right to work is wrong for Ohio.
So to kind of close out the point, I think people hopefully are asking, what can we do? May 16th here in Columbus, but wherever you're listening at this, in the state of Ohio, there are meetings being set up with labor and We Are Ohio. Here in Columbus, we're urging people to come 5:30 for dinner, 6 o'clock for the regular meeting at the Carpenters Union Hall, which is 1545 Allen Creek Drive on the 16th of May, which is a Friday. So 16th of May, Carpenters Union Hall, 1545 Allen Creek Road at 5:30 in the evening. Come over, break bread with us, and let's discuss how we can fight for a better world.
One final point I'd like to make on this is that these bills came out, and there were 15 co-sponsors on the one. I don't know about the other, but the as you stated in our discussions previous to the show today, some of the sort of establishment Republican leaders have backed away from this and said, oh, we don't want to do this now. Remember, folks, let's remember the history of what happened in Michigan. Governor Snyder said it would be too controversial. He didn't want to be involved in it. And after the last election cycle, they did it in a lame duck session between the November election and January 1st. So let's not believe that they're going to back away from this. This is something they've wanted for years and years and years. They may just let it sit there in the legislature and then pull it up in lame duck session. So we need to be vigilant.
So be it on the 16th, be over at the Carpenters Hall. So I wanted to thank you, Glenn, for coming in again. And Amanda, it's so good to have you here. We were able to attend a meeting last Saturday, which was really impressive, over at the Unitarian Church. Amanda was the chair there, and we wanted to invite her to come in and talk about the discharge of unjust, illegal, in our opinion, discharge of Carla Hale, a 19-year teacher over at Bishop Watterson, and what's going on with that. You want to tell us?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. I think, you know, it fits well with Right to Work, because it's about arbitrarily choosing which parts of an ordinance or laws you want to recognize.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's exactly what we have going on here. I mean, the diocese is choosing what they want to recognize in their morality clause.
Well, let's go back up a little bit and tell us the story more about Carla's situation. What transpired and what happened, you know, leading up to her dismissal?
Well, her mother passed away. The obituary was published in the Columbus Dispatch on February 25th. Shortly thereafter, an anonymous letter appeared at the diocese.
A courageous, from somebody courageous, obviously.
I think cowardly is how I would put
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
An anonymous letter appeared, states their, you know, horror and disbelief that that Bishop Watterson and the diocese would hire a woman who clearly listed a female partner after her name. Now, in the obituary, in the list of surviving family members, it said Carla, parentheses, Julie Hale.
Right.
So you have to wonder how this would turn out if, you know, a more androgynous name.
Sure, like any other person who would list their spouse or their loved one. When a parent dies, you know, the extended family is often listed in that way.
I know people who list pets.
Right.
It's just disgusting that I got to say, it's just disgusting when this woman, a 19-year beloved teacher, returns to work after burying her mother, she's greeted with a pink slip.
Right.
So what's...
That's not a pink slip. That's a dismissal.
Right,
pink slip's
right.
Layoff.
And so at the time she was discharged by Watterson, tell us a little about the emergence of the resistance, the movement in solidarity with Ms. Hale.
Well, for a time, no one actually knew what was going on. She was supposedly on sick leave, and then the understanding that has come, because all of this surfaced, the reality of the situation surfaced nearly a month after she'd been sacked. And I think the what has kind of come into vision now is that some brave teachers at the school stepped forward and told the class, this is why Ms. Hale isn't here.
And then the movement began spontaneously, more or less, at that point?
I kept seeing these sort of, you know, infrequent pray for Ms. Hale things online, and I was like, what's going on? I Googled it, I couldn't find anything. So finally, I found out that, you know, I found the petition, and at that time it had like 60.
Could you say something about the petition, please?
Sure, it's on change.org. It was trending on the front page, I think it is. When I started Hailstorm Ohio on the 16th of April, it had 50 signatures. It kept growing, growing, growing. And now it has over 105,000.
And I understand it's getting some international recognition as well. I mean, it's being picked up in papers across the Atlantic. Is that correct?
Yes. I've just this week written an article, an editorial for the Guardian newspaper, which comes out of the UK, out of London, but is distributed worldwide.
Absolutely, yeah.
I understand you have some background there.
I do have some background there. I've been living in London for the last 5 years, and I had just gotten back 4 days before the hailstorm erupted. So,
well, we're glad
you're here. You're here, yeah.
We're
that's
glad
great.
We got you here. And Glenn, could you say a word about pride at work and what our position from labor is through your organization on this position?
Well, obviously, anytime somebody's encountering discrimination at work, and in this case, I think it's the highest form, you're being denied your job after 19 years of great service. It's not like Ms. Hale was out and it arose out of a problem from throughout the school. This is, you know, a caring, compassionate time when she wanted her whole family involved in her grieving process. And unfortunately, you know, it did come through, you know, a cowardly letter that was sent to it's very difficult anytime you're merging religion and rights at work, but you know, when it comes to a fundamental human right of the ability to make an income, we all have to participate in the economic system that we have in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the main rules we have in life, you know, death and taxes. You have to pay taxes. and if you want to earn a living in today's world, you also have to be able to be employed. So we're talking about a fundamental human right to be able to provide for yourself. And unfortunately, in this case, Ms. Hale is now dealing with a very difficult time because of the clash between religion and the fundamental human right of being able to
be who you are
and earn a living.
Yeah,
you know,
I've got a question real quick. Was there ever any indication or accusation or allegation that she ever sort of was out front in her classroom in any way at the school doing things that might have violated her employment contract that you know of?
No.
Yeah?
Never. I mean, I had Ms. Hale.
Oh, you're an alumnus of
yes,
Waterson,
and,
huh?
You know, I hate to use this comparison, but it's sort of in the way you don't want to think about your parents having sex. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
My God, like, nobody ever
thought
about
it. We can pretty much guarantee they did at one point.
Yeah,
though, right?
Well, I know, I mean, and to be fair, I've taught university
sure.
for the last 3 years. I mean, I'm sure they probably have similar feelings about me now, too. I'm uh-huh. on the other end of it. But,
yeah.
You know, I think the interesting about, or it's very interesting to talk about right, you know, freedom of religion,
mm-hmm.
because last time I checked, discrimination wasn't a Catholic value. Now, I'm a bit rusty on my Catholicism, but I'm pretty sure that doesn't qualify for freedom of religion.
Right, and this came completely out of a listing in an obituary.
Yeah, well, the
amazing.
Problem is it's public. As you saw in the bishop's statement this last week, it's not so much that she's gay, it's that she's publicly gay.
Well, I understand.
Amazing.
Ms. Hale actually is Methodist.
Yes.
She's so. I understand, and you correct me if I'm wrong. I understood she was hired as a phys ed teacher, and from what I saw, or what we all saw at the meeting Saturday, she really seems to be beloved by the students, and beloved by the parents, the families, the community, the alumni, and from everything we can see, has done a wonderful job. But the point her attorney, Mr. Tuttle, made is that she was not hired to be a Catholic. She was hired to be a teacher, which she did very well, and in her own personal life, happens to be a Methodist.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think one of the interesting things that, you know, I plan to investigate a bit further is that I believe in the contract was available from the diocese online, and the day after the Facebook group was set up and resistance started to form, then no longer you could find the contract online.
Oh, did someone, were we able to download it so that we have documentation, though?
Well, I didn't save it.
Oh.
So that's the problem. But well, I'm not going to give away whether or not I have it, but but I can say that there is a section that if you are hired as a Methodist, you're not forced to be a Catholic. You're forced to abide by the moral clauses and moral rules of your own faith, supposedly. I mean, it's very abstractly worded. However, you know, most religions don't have this kind of condemnation of homosexuality in the same way that Catholicism seems to be.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, kind of national, international Catholicism seems to be lightening those.
Well, right. And you know, there are plenty of folks who practice the religion and, you know, let's face it. They're born that way, right? They're born.
It's essential.
Yeah, it's not as many of our unenlightened brethren might think, a choice that people make just sort of out of the blue. It's who they are. It's as much as what your ethnicity is, you know, anything else. It's basic to and essential to who you are.
I think in many ways too, work isn't a choice. You know, I think one of the things that I find most infuriating through all this is people keep saying, if she knew she was gay, why would she go work at a Catholic school? And I, you know, I don't know about anyone else, but when I'm looking for a job, I will work wherever. I mean, have you seen the economy, right?
Right.
Well, I don't have these options.
The argument that I've heard is that, that makes sense to me at least, is that the diocese actually is not an island unto itself without public support. They get an entire infrastructure of public support. And speaking to that, we were able to speak to
tax
Napoleon.
Tax exemption is a huge support to their
exactly
organization.
Right. Was able to speak to Napoleon Bell here yesterday, who is
Columbus Community Relations.
Right.
Napoleon
right.
Bell, yeah.
And they filed a case now as well, I understand.
Hmm. I wasn't aware that Napoleon Bell filed the case.
Well, they did.
The Columbus Community Relations Commission? Is that who it is?
Yeah, and that...
Oh,
that,
yes, against the diocese,
right,
yes.
Right.
For violation of the ordinance.
Yes, yeah. Yes, of course. Well, that has a Class 1 misdemeanor.
Do you... For the labor movement and for pride at work, Glenn, what are we urging people to do in relationship to... Ms. Hale's situation? Do we have a position at this point, and are we?
Well, obviously our position is one of support. I attended the meeting last Saturday, and our pleasure, my pleasure. Pride at Work is still a pretty new group in Ohio. We have some members. Not everyone is in Columbus. But we are encouraging our members to sign the petition online, educate the Central Labor Councils around them. We are going to engage the Central Ohio Labor Council and seek a position of support as well. Obviously, we have a wide variety of people in the labor movement, and whether it's just us at Pride at Work trying to get the message out, the idea of discussing sex and sexuality is difficult for a lot of folks. You know, it's like, you know, not wanting to think about our teachers or our parents, and a lot of folks just don't feel comfortable having that conversation publicly. And you know, we have to respect the fact that it's not, you know, an easy conversation to have, but it's definitely a conversation that has to start happening. So we are trying to get the conversation going and trying to get it away from just the issue of sexuality. You know, some people don't understand it. Some people don't even, you know, care to try to understand it. And that's okay because we don't really need acceptance. But we do have to have basic protections under the law. We
exactly.
do have to have the ability to make our income, and labor unions have been at the forefront of all civil rights fights, whether it's, you know, civil rights in the 60s, women's suffrage in the early 1900s, just anybody that has ever had to make a living, there's always been that conversation, you know, between the people that pay the wage to, versus the people that make the wage, how much of the total profit are we allowed to have or should we have? And we're trying to get
and how much they can control your life.
Yes, yeah. And how much they can control your life. And that's a perfect example that Carla's dealing with right now. Her life has now been controlled by the school's decision to fire her. And she's suffering, and she's going to have to, you know, make means to try to come up with employment if we can't get the situation worked out. Obviously, we will call on the school to change its position. That goes right back to the diocese. And, you know, it quite frankly gets to the discussion of where the LGBT community fits in with the Catholic Church.
Right.
Well, I think as the oldest person in this room and somebody who had the opportunity or to have worked in the civil rights movement 100 years ago, close to that, you know, the language around this fight is so similar. And, you know, I think from labor's point of view, as Glenn points out, while they could, maybe they can fire Carla Hale today for that reason, but it might be tomorrow for a woman, tomorrow, the day after for, you know, somebody the boss doesn't like from the old neighborhood.
Right, and I think that's one of the things, you know, how much is your employer allowed to control your personal life when you don't bring any of that into the workplace? You know, if you're doing your job, being a good employee, making production and or extending the educational opportunities for the kids that you're involved with, there seems to me a fundamental injustice there. And as we've said, and for years and years, even in the civil rights movement, if just one person is unjustly impacted, an injustice to one is an injustice to all of us.
Injury to one is an injury to all.
There you go.
Neither we stand, divided we fall.
Very good, Bruce. Thank you. Thank you for remembering that from 100 years ago.
That's right. That's right. Well, the interesting thing is that 100 years ago it was applicable,
and it is today.
It's applicable. Applicable.
There you go.
We've seen a number of pickets, I understand. There was a report on quite a number of the students that went out and picketed at the diocese. The following day, there were a number of folks that handed out cards at the Sunday services. We've seen signs.
Well, they won't listen to us, so hopefully they'll listen to our money.
Yeah. So,
I had a question really quick. Do you know much about what happened this past Sunday? There was a parent from Watterson who I guess attended a breakfast with...
The Miners Club.
The Miners Club, yeah, yeah.
Mr. Petrucci. Yes, good Italian name.
Right.
Yes, he went to a dinner that Bishop Campbell was at.
Has to do with his annual appeal for funds from the faithful.
Yes, he relied heavily on support from this particular group. And, you know, it was obviously a paid dinner. He paid to get in. And he presented Bishop Campbell with a letter saying, you know, I want you to address this. This is, you know, in response to the unlawful firing of Carla Hale. And, I mean, you can hear it. I don't know if you've heard the audio of it, but you can hear them ejecting him. You know, him saying, don't touch me. You know, them saying, you need to leave. I mean, on it immediately.
So he had a position on the issue, or did he just want the bishop to address it and not leave the high school hanging out? So because it seems like the diocese is kind of backed up and, you know, letting the high school take all the heat.
Well, and this is the problem, too. I mean, you know, one of the first big decisions that we had to make as a movement is who to make the big fish. You know, do you pick Watterson or do you pick the diocese? And the diocese has proven itself that it is more than happy to let an individual, whether it's Principal Hudson or the school as a sort of individual, take the heat for this. And the problem is that this has happened all over the diocese. It's happened all over the country, frankly. And, you know, if we can force them to revise their employment policies, that's going to have a longer impact than, you know, slandering someone.
Well, and as you said before, the Watterson community and the other staff members really valued Carla's work and input in the community. And they basically allowed this you know, this resistance to foment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm a firm believer that silence makes you complicit.
Mm-hmm.
But when I have to pick what battle to pick, I'm going to pick the diocese because that has the potential for real impact.
Change. Yeah.
And, since all of this started coming about, people kept coming up to me and confidentially saying, you know, I was sacked for being pregnant out of wedlock, or I'm married, but we weren't married in the Catholic Church, and I got pregnant. So they said I was, you know, forced out of their schools that they've spent all this time in, and just told to, you know, you don't even get to pack your things, just take off.
Right. And I really have to say this. There really is an extremely wide difference in how they approach this and what we see now with, you know, decades after it was first exposed that there were problems of priests molesting children. And I, you know, not to just pile on, but to pile on, for crying's sake. You know, these guys, if they don't want to be accused of hypocrisy, it would really be good not to commit hypocritic acts.
Yeah,
you know, and treat Carla well.
Quite frankly, they swept so much of that under the rug, which was a violation of law. Pedophilia is a violation of law, and they did it under the authority of their office.
And that is
much worse, in my opinion, than someone being who they are
and
not bringing it to their workplace.
As I understand it, putting your partner's name on an obit is not a violation of law.
No, I mean, it's an implication, too. I mean, it's understood that that's, you know, when that's in parentheses, mm-hmm. that's your partner, but it could be anybody. It could be your kids, it could be your dog. Mm-hmm. My mother has said on and on that she'd put her dogs. I mean, you know, you can put whatever.
Could be
you
a close family friend.
Absolutely. I mean, and still, to be fired over an implication is unbelievable to me.
Do we have a potential date of an upcoming meeting or anything where you could tell folks that if they wanted to help out, they could show up, or are there actions coming up, Amanda?
Well, right now you can always contact me, hailstormohio.org.
Could you say that slower and spell it for folks?
Hailstream.
Hailstorm.
Hailstorm, okay, go ahead.
hailstormohio.org.
Okay.
But we protest tomorrow.
Nice.
So...
Where is this?
At the Columbus Catholic Diocese.
Okay.
On the Broad Street side? Broad Street?
Yes, on the Broad Street side.
And
do you have the street address by any chance?
197 East Gay Street.
197 East Gay Street.
And the irony mounts.
And labor will attempt to bring some folks out if we have the ability,
yes,
right?
2 p.m.
Absolutely.
2 p.m. tomorrow.
Yes.
197 Gay Street. And you're also urging people to sign the online petition, right?
Absolutely. Keep signing the petition, but get involved.
And could you, again, slowly identify how people can reach that petition?
Yes. By logging on to change.org, you will be able to find the petition that says reinstate Waterston High School teacher Carla Hale. It has been on the front page, so you should be able to find it. But you can also find the petition from our website.
Have we been able to establish a place that people could help financially? As Glenn pointed out, Ms. Hale is more than just a martyr and a symbol. She is a real human being who has a family and needs to provide for herself and her family. So. Do we have a location where people could financially help out at all?
No, absolutely. I mean, a You Caring Fund was started, but Mr. Tootle, Ms. Hale's attorney, has asked that all donations be made instead to a charity of, you know, for equal rights, human rights. Right now, Ms. Hale is not accepting any personal donations, nor are there any funds necessary for her legal defense fund.
Well, that's admirable that she's eschewing that and just fighting it on her own.
Mr.
We certainly want to support her in every way we can. Bruce, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Mr. Tuttle, the attorney, stated that there are actually three different ways that she can prevail on this.
Mm-hmm.
And while he wanted to say publicly that nobody wins in this situation, personally, I'd kind of like for Carla to win. But you know, Mr. Tuttle stated that there were, besides the lawsuit which he has filed in Carla's defense, there's a grievance by the Catholic Union that she is a member of, fighting the discharge, and that's gone to a second or a third step now, I mm-hmm. believe. And as well, then, the Community Relations Commission, which can arbitrate or mediate, and then could, it's a first degree
class one misdemeanor.
Class one misdemeanor.
What does that carry?
Well, it's either a $1,000 fine or up to 6 months in jail. But the problem with that is that it holds an individual accountable. It would hold Ms. Hudson accountable when
the teacher that was ordered.
Yes,
to
the principal
take the action.
That took the action. And how does that solve a problem?
Right.
You know, we want Ms. Hale to win, but we want the people that this hasn't happened to yet to win as well.
Exactly, exactly.
So you're saying this is a movement that is not going to go away?
No.
Well, thanks so much, Amanda, for
thank
being
you
for
here
having
today. Me.
Glenn?
Yes.
Thanks for being
well,
here.
Glenn, you had said
he's back there working on his laptop.
Yeah. prior to closing out.
Petition, making sure it is still on the first page. It
is still on the first
page. It's still
on
the first page, top row. So it's still
great.
On the top signature.
Keeping us up to speed.
From our point of view, we're going to be approaching the AFL-CIO, the Change the Wind unions, the CAP council as well, and asking all of them to stand together to support this violation of everybody's human rights and labor rights. Right?
And help us lobby reform on May 8th.
All right.
Say that again now.
Help us lobby for reform on May 8th.
There we go.
State House,
Equality,
10
Ohio.
A.m.
Equality, Ohio, and Freedom to Marry.
And how do they reach you personally again before we close out?
Well, you can reach me by personal email, which you'll find on our website, or by just sending an email to hailstormohio@gmail.com. And putting my name, Amanda, in the subject line.
And Glenn, as you said, it's a new budding organization here, Pride at Work,
yes,
in Ohio. And that's like the other constituency groups, the Coalition of Black Trade Unions, Coalition Labor Union Women. If there are folks out there that would like to help out, you do not have to be an LGBT person to
be
do
an
that.
Ally, absolutely. Our organization is accepting membership at all times. You can either go to our national website, www.prideatwork.org, and you can sign up as a member, and the information will come back to us here in Ohio. Or you can contact me directly at gskeen1969@gmail.org.
That's
gmail.com.
That's gskeen at gmail.com.
1969.
Why don't you do that over again?
Yeah, that's right.
Confuse everybody. Glenn,
that is
we'll close
G Skeen, S-K-E-E-N, 1969@gmail.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Amanda, always good to see your smiling face this morning.
Thank you both for being
Glenn,
here.
Glenn, always good to see you again, my good friend.
Bruce, good job, buddy.
Good job, my friend.
Yes,
thank
well
you.
Done.